It's so good to be here on this beautiful Sunday morning to be able to share my heart and to share the word that the Lord has placed on my heart this morning. And how many of you were here for last Sunday? Wasn't that a phenomenal message? I know I keep saying that, but it just keeps being phenomenal, you know. So what can you say, right, when it's great? But it was so amazing. And just that whole illustration, how Pastor Kevin was inside the baptismal tank, and he began to talk about bringing that stuff in, right? Bringing those things into our life. And I think that what the Lord has given me this morning is just bringing some more, adding to this a little. I was just in Rockford, busting out of the seams on that front row, just excited about that visual, that reality. You know, those things are revelation, people. This is revelation that people before us did not know. This is revelation that people just did because the Bible said. But God, we are living in the age of information. Amen. We are living in an age where God is revealing himself greater and greater to us. And I just rejoice for those who were baptized this morning with such a profoundness of knowing and meaning to it because of the revelation that was given last week. So I'm going to be talking about sonship. I just love when God does this, when the Lord does this, you know, even the worship songs, don't wait to connect when the word comes. Start getting in there in the worship, I'm telling you, because every song is just leading to what the message is today. And I'm going to be talking about sonship, and I want to share a couple of thoughts that the Lord gave me before I go into scripture. And one of the thoughts is, if we focus on what we were, we will never become who we really are in Christ. Amen. But if we focus on Jesus, he will show us who we are and deliver us from who we were into who we are called to be. Amen. Amen. It's so important, you know, and this is another thought I want to share so that we can get our minds ready for what I'm about to say. It's not appropriate for a son to say, my father's like me, because the father came first, right? And the father is the one that grooms the son, okay? And so, but it's rather more appropriate to say, I'm like my father, amen? Yeah, right. And so we have to learn who our father is. When we come out the womb, we don't know, and that's why kids, they test us. How far will we go as a parent, right? They'll test you to see, I'm getting to know my dad, you know, what is okay and what's not okay, all right? And that's the same thing in Christ, right? That we can, God will never be like us. We become like him. And see, that takes all the pride issues off of us. That takes all, I should know better. No, that's why we know Christ, so that we can know better. Amen? Because Adam and Eve, they turned away from the fatherhood of God. Amen? And we have this opportunity in Christ to come back to the fatherhood in God. And so we don't have to stay under condemnation. We are, therefore, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Amen? And that's why I love when Pastor Kevin said, it's not what you take in, it's what you leave out on the shore. Amen. And so we can take all of those things. And the one thing that we need to understand, this is a personal relationship with God. No one has to know what you're confronting. No one has to know what God is dealing with you in your life. Amen. You just have to allow him to lead you. And just so you know that I'm saved, I'm going to turn to the scriptures in Romans chapter 8. I know some people, if you're not going to give me a scripture, I'm not going to listen to you. Well, I'm going to appease your little heart right now. Okay, Romans chapter 8, verse 9. And we're going to go on a little journey with this chapter. Amen. Woo! Going to do it good. All right. I'm going to read this out of the Message Bible. Okay. And my first point is those who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. Okay, in Romans 8, starting from verse, I'm going to go through 9 and 11 right now. It says, but if God himself has taken up residence in your life, you can hardly be thinking more of yourself than him. Come on, somebody. You know, that's when you have to stop thinking about yourself and start thinking about Jesus and start thinking about his word and what he says and how he's going to get us out of all the mess that we've gotten ourselves. And because of lack of knowledge, right? It says you can hardly be thinking about yourself. It's now time to think about God. It's time to think about him, allowing him to father you. It's time to say, who am I really? Amen. Who am I really? And that's, if you keep thinking about yourself, then you're thinking about your past. If you're thinking about yourself, then you're thinking about where you came from. Amen. But when you're thinking about him, you're thinking about where you're going. Amen. Come on, someone. Yeah. Come on, Holy Spirit. Yes. The more you applaud the Holy Spirit, the more he's going to flow through me. So if you want something, you better applaud, okay? It says, anyone, of course, who has not welcomed this invisible but clearly present God, the Spirit of Christ, won't know what we're talking about. But for you who welcome him in whom he dwells, even though you still experience all the limitations of sin, you yourself experience life on God's terms. It stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, I said move in. Amen. No, not come to visit, move in. We're done with visitation. We want habitation. Amen. Come on, somebody. It's a raising from the dead. He'll do the same in you that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive to himself. Amen. When God lives and breathes in you, and he does, as surely as he did in Jesus, you are delivered from the dead life. With his spirit in you, your body will be alive as Christ. Amen. Doesn't it sound like the resurrected King is resurrecting me? Come on, somebody. I want to be in the worship team so bad. And see, and this is what's about. We don't have to have shame. No matter how long you've been in unforgiveness, or no matter how long you've been in rejection, we don't have to be ashamed to say, you know what? I've been living a rejected life. Amen. I've been living a bitter life. I've been living a cynical life. You can confront those things. And again, it can be between you and the Holy Spirit. And he'll lead you out. I look out and I see so many transformed lives. Since the 8 years that I've been here at Life Church, I have seen transformation from transformation. Come on, let's give God glory for that. Come on. Come on. And it says now in Romans 12:14, says, so don't you see that we don't owe this old do-it-yourself life one red cent? There's nothing in it for us, nothing at all. The best thing to do is give it a decent burial. And that's what they did in the baptism today. They gave it a decent burial. When they went down, they buried the sins or their past, and they came up and they sprung up into life. That was a prophetic act. That was a display of our belief in Christ. Amen. And get on with your new life. Say new life.
New life.
How many want a new life? Amen. It says God's Spirit beckons. There are things to do and places to go, people. There are things to do and places to go. Enough going to the pity parties. Hello? Enough going into those isolations, amen. It's time for the people, the sons of God, to manifest on the earth, amen. And that's the thing. It's not that you say, oh, I'm a Christian. It's your manifestation. It's what you're manifesting. They tempted Jesus all the time to say who he was, but he wouldn't say it. And what I love Jesus. He is so cool. He is just such a cool dude. I'm sorry, Lord. I don't want to call you a dude, because I respect you too much. But he's so awesome. You know how John the Baptist sent his servant to go ask Jesus, are you the one or should I be waiting for another? He said, tell him what I'm doing. Tell him what I'm manifesting. Yes. Come on, somebody. Yes. You know, and it wasn't like, oh, he wasn't, God is not, how many of you know God is not arrogant? He just is. When you don't have to be arrogant if you just are, because people already see it. People are going to declare those things about you. And what I love about Jesus, he said, tell me what's coming through me. Love and mercy and grace was coming through him. Come on. We might say, oh, yeah, he healed. Oh, the demons flee. Yeah, but out of what was the premise of that heart? Love, mercy, and grace. Hello? See, we miss it. We miss it by looking, wow, look at somebody's leg grew out. Wow, somebody got healed. And I'm not trying to diminish that. I'm just saying, wow, what mercy. Yes. What grace. What love is this? Yes. What love is this? I don't deserve to be healed. You know, I don't deserve to be delivered. I got myself into that demon. Hello? I got myself into that captivity. Right. But then when he just says, come on out, without asking my resume. Come on, without asking me my past, because a resume talks about your past. We're not living on our resume. We're living on his resume. Come on, somebody. So you apply for that job. You apply for that position, amen? Because you're not going in your resume. You're going in the resume of God, in his, and what he has manifested, amen, in us. Okay, my second point is becoming like our Father in character and doing, and that we're going to continue to Romans chapter 8, verse 15 to 17. This resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life, okay? It's not a timid life. God didn't call us to be scared of anything. He called us to be bold and courageous in him, okay, in his likeness. It's adventurous and expectant, amen? How many of you know it's adventurous? Adventurous, amen, and expectant. Greeting God with a childlike, what's next, Papa? God's spirit touches our spirit and confirms who we really are. We know who he is and we know who we are, father and child. See, this is what we got to get as a body of Christ, that he's father and we are child. Amen. And we have to allow him to father us, and not with the mentality of a 16-year-old. I know more than my father. Hello? I said childlike. Okay, childlike is why, how come, where is it, I want it, amen? And that's the kind of faith God wants us to walk in. This is the kind of thing that God wants us to walk in with him, amen? We just put so much demonic edge to things. We're so fearful. We're fearful of the anointing. We're fearful if somebody heard the God. Oh, my God, you heard God? Hello? I think it's strange that you don't hear God. And you say you have a relationship with him. Hello? That's how we should all hear God. It doesn't take a specific person to hear God for you, although he will do it because that's the way he is. He's good to us until we learn. Why does God raise people up to tell you what God says so that you can start understanding his mind? Hello? It's not to get puffed up and get a business card and say, oh, God said this, so now I'm going to market myself. No. Are you hearing me, church? We've got to wake up to our who we are in him. Amen. We got to wake up to the fathering of God. And I want you to know there's a great fathering spirit at Life Church, and I'm not trying to say we're all the all in all, but what I'm saying is what I'm seeing. Okay? That God has set a table before us here at Life Church, but some of us are literally waiting for a table to come out of the phenomenon, to come down in front of us with fruit and food, and we all come and sit down. No, the table is serving you teachings, amen? Truth, amen? We're giving fruit, amen? That's what setting a table is, having Life School of the Bible. Setting the table is having the healing school, amen? Or the word of faith, amen? Or having the deliverance or the freedom ministry, amen? Or even the hearing the voice of God ministry, that's serving a table right there before you. Amen. To nurture you, to give you strength, to give you muscle. Amen. To give you strength, brain, spiritual brain power. It's right there. It's right there before you. And some of us are malnutrition because we have refused to go to the table and eat. We refuse to spend 2 years. We refuse to spend 12 weeks. We don't think it's going to change us. I'm telling you, ask somebody that's gone to those classes and they'll tell you. Right. Amen. Even, I, as many of you know, that I also pastored the prophetic team here at Life Church. And sometimes you can be so dependent on hearing God's voice that you don't give foundation. And that's one of the suggestions I tell my team, take Life School the Bible. Amen. Because I want you to have heaven and earth with you. Amen. I want you to have heaven and earth. I want you to have the word, the spirit, and I want you to have relationship. Come on! Give the Lord a praise offering for that. Amen. Amen. So it says here, we know him. Okay. We go through exactly what Christ goes through. If we go through the hard times with him, then we certainly are going to go through the good times with him. Amen. Romans 18 to 21 says, that's why I don't think there's any comparison between the present hard times and the coming good times. The created world itself can hardly wait for what's coming next. Everything in creation is being more or less held back. God reins it in until both creation and the creatures are ready and can be released at the same moment into the glorious time ahead. Meanwhile, the joyful anticipation deepens. Amen? Deepens. And I want you to understand that it says if we go to the hard times, we'll surely go to the good times with him. Amen? So we have to understand he's trying to deliver us out of what we were into what he really called us to be. And see, some of those things are not going to feel comfortable to your life. A lot of things that I've gone through in my life have not been comfortable. Amen? You know, I don't choose what city I'm living in. I'm where God has called me to be. Amen? God's called me to be at a place, and yes, it's, you know, I thought that God would send me farther away from the cold, but he just takes me deeper in to the cold weather. But thank God for this beautiful summer we're having. You know, but see, I didn't choose that, but how many of you know this is the best place I could ever be in my life? Amen. This is the best place I could ever be in my life. Because I want you to know that when I came here, the first woman's retreat I was called to minister at, I ministered to people, and Pastor Bev and Pastor Evelyn were on the venue as well, and they were ministering, and I was one of the speakers. But when Pastor Evelyn went up there and she was ministering to, I forgot that I was a speaker and I was there weeping and crying, and she came and hugged me with that mother's love, and I got just deliverance just by those loving arms she had. And, you know, even though I was already a minister, even though I was already, I mean, I was a keynote speaker at the event, but I'm no dummy. When I feel the Holy Spirit, I'm going to get in and get healed. When I feel the Holy Spirit, I'm going to get in, you know, because many of you here are bound by the opinion of man. You're bound by what people might think. I don't care what anybody thought about me, because it wasn't never about me when I got there. It was about Jesus. It was about his Spirit. Amen. And so I'm like, hey, I may not ever be back at this church again, but I know the anointing when I feel it. I know the anointing when it's there. So I allowed myself, I humbled myself, and I let her hold me and let her speak over my life. Amen. But I could have said, no, I can't do that because the people have to see, you know, that I'm a keynote speaker and this and that. I am still being transformed by the renewing of my mind. I am still going from glory to glory. I am still desiring to go wherever God wants me to go. Amen. Amen. And, you know, again, I am not going by my resume, because I would not be able to be in the position that I am. I'm going upon God's resume. Amen. I never had to push the door. I had to go through the test. Hello? I had to humble myself and say, you know, oh, and I don't want to skip this part. As a keynote speaker that day, when I was preaching, the Spirit of the Lord came upon me, and I began to say things that I was even against my own heart, and I began to take responsibility for my life. I had always told my story of what happened to me, but I never had spoken it as that was my responsibility, that I gave my will over to something that was not good for me. And as I humbled myself there in the preaching, because how many of you know the word is a double-edged sword? As I'm speaking it to you, it's cutting me the same way. Amen. So I allowed the Lord to speak through me, because it's not how great I am. It's how great he is. Amen. And this shows grace, and this shows mercy. And this is what I'm doing right now is showing that he's a loving God. He's a forgiving God. He's a restoring God. He's a delivering God. Amen. And he's that same God for you too. But you got to go. Sometimes we don't want to go to that door. Well, I don't like that teacher. Well, no, I feel a spirit. My spirit is resisting that spirit. Yeah, maybe the spirit that don't want to leave your life doesn't want you to connect to that person that can cast it out. That can bring it to alignment. Amen. That can bring it to alignment. You know, if you're a Christian, I never saw Jesus run away from demons. Hello? And so if you feel that someone has a demon, your very presence, Almighty One, should deliver them, not you running away from them. Come on, somebody. Can we talk about the truth today? Can we talk about being sons of God? Can we talk about connecting with our destiny as Christians, not to just come on church on Sunday? This right here is an equipping. This is a boot camp for you, amen? This is an equipping center, amen, to equip you to walk in the power of God, amen? To walk in the sound mind of God, that what's happening outside is because we're not rising up and manifesting what God's power can do through us, amen? And I'm not mad at you, please. I'm mad at the lying devil, because do you know he's a father too? He'll father that lie over your life. And year after year after year, the same cycle comes because he's making you believe this and say, they don't want you there. I don't care who don't want me where I'm supposed to be. I'm going to be there. Again, opinion of man. And some of it is your opinion that you're enforcing on God. When you have to understand, you don't know what God has for you until he reveals it to you. And a lot of times, he doesn't reveal it to you until you get there, until you obey, because you'll try to figure it out yourself. And we've seen some stories like that in the Word of God, too. Amen? You have to allow God to get you to those doors, even though they're hard, even though they're confronting you, even though they make you feel, oh, but there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Allow yourself to face it, so that you can live in the freedom of being a son of God. Amen? Okay, the third point is deliverance belongs to the sons. And you'll find that those scriptures in Matthew chapter 15, 26 to 28, but I'm going to continue in Romans chapter 8, verses 22 to 25. Deliverance is the action of being rescued or set free. Synonyms are liberation, release, delivery, discharge, rescue, emancipation. Hallelujah. How many of you want some of that in your life? How many of you know? And see, you got to know we all need to be delivered from systems that we have rendered to. Amen. Thoughts that we have rendered to. You know, some people might say, oh, you know, they render to I'm too old. No, I'm never going to render to that. Hello? I'm not smart enough. Well, I thank God that this does not depend on me being smart. Amen? Amen? We cannot render ourselves to those thoughts. We have to be delivered from thoughts. Amen? We'll believe the thought of man before we believe the thought of God. We gotta change our perspective. We should not be coming in here to as a gas station only. This place should be a place of transformation. Amen. See, some of you may want that big ministry, but that big ministry might be standing in the gap for your family and loosing them from addictions, loosing them from the lies of the enemy. Come on, somebody. God raises up prophetic voices in families to say, my family's going to live, and it's not going to die, and it's going to declare the wonderful works of the Lord. I know what I'm talking about, because when God called me, I still need deliverance, amen? And that's how he delivered me, by the call on my life. It drew me to God, amen? Many of you know the stories of my children. They were on drugs, selling drugs, and things like that. But I stood, and even my own children would mock me. That stuff don't work, Mom. That stuff is not working. But I never rendered to that thought. I rendered to the word of the Lord that said, my children are being taught by the Lord, and great shall be their peace. Come on, somebody. Come on. Some of them could have been doing jail sentences, but God is good and God is great. When you stand on his word and you believe his word greater than what you're seeing with your eyes, what you're seeing with your eyes is temporary. Come on, somebody. And let me tell you, it brought an intercessory anointing on my life. Come on. That I can pray for nations now. Amen. I was praying and praying, even though it looked worse, even though it got worse, I kept standing on the word, and I even wanted to stop ministering. And let me tell you what God told me. He said, if you stop ministering, Norma, then you're saying everything you preach was a lie. He said, keep ministering. I didn't tell you to come down. Come on, somebody. See, those are the thoughts of God. But the thoughts of the presbytery might be a little different. Okay? But the thoughts of God is say, go, girl. Go and manifest my glory. Go and show people and manifest that I will deliver your children. Come on, somebody. Go and stand in the fire. Go and stand against the gates of hell that wants to consume your family. Come on, somebody. Come on. See, you might not fight for your marriage, but you will fight for your kids. Come on, somebody. Okay, it says, all around we observe a pregnant creation. The difficult times of pain throughout the world are simply birth pangs. But it's not only around us, it's within us. The Spirit of God is arousing us within. Yes, Father, arouse us today, Lord. We're also feeling the birth pangs. These sterile, barren bodies of ours are yearning for full deliverance. That is why waiting does not diminish us. Huh. Any more than waiting diminishes a pregnant woman. Come on, somebody. That pain did not diminish me. It made me stronger. When we're waiting, let the waiting make you stronger. Just know something is happening. Amen. Just like a pregnant woman, you might not even see them yet being pregnant, but they're nonetheless still pregnant. Amen. And even though you don't believe they're pregnant, they have proof, they have tests, they have things that they went through that knows and verifies that they're pregnant. Hello? So even though people don't see what God is doing in your life, let it be manifested. Amen. Don't say you're a Christian. Manifest your Christian way. Amen. Even my family mocked me. For 7 years, I didn't talk to my family. I didn't have a phone and things like that for 7 years. But those were the best 7 years of my life, not because I didn't talk to my family, okay? But the best 7 years of my life because all I had was God, and that's all I needed to talk to was God. Amen. Those 7 years were a 7-year journey of shutting everybody else's voice out of my life but his. Amen. But now guess who is the hotline to prayer now? Amen. Now they want to, would you pray for us and things like that? And we've seen things in our family that have changed. And now I see nieces and nephews going to church now. I've seen that next generation because I used to babysit them when they were little. And now they remember that. And now they're going to church. And now they're believing God for things in their life. Amen. It hurts to be the pregnant one. How many of you know this, ladies? And some of you men know it too because you had to go through it with them. Hello. Amen. Amen. It hurts, and you get uncomfortable, and you even feel abnormal, and you don't fit in the same way in the chair like you used to fit. Amen. But see, but that's okay, because one day that baby's coming out, and everybody's going to see the beauty of what you were birthing. Then everybody's going to see, surely they're a son of God. Amen. Surely there's a different spirit on you. Amen. We got to stop being wimps. We're children of God. Amen. We got to be like our daddy. Amen. We got to be creators like our daddy. Amen. If there's not a way, then we're going to find a way to do it. Amen. Because God is a creator. We got to be like our daddy. Amen. Merciful. We got to be like our daddy, graceful. Amen. We got to be our daddy, long-suffering. Amen. We got to be like our daddy, self-control, because I know he's got to do like this sometimes. Hello? The way he sees things happening. But it says, we are enlarged in the waiting. Hallelujah. We, of course, don't see what is enlarging us, but the longer we wait, the longer we become, and the more joyful our expectation. Hello? The more we start seeing things coming into view. Now I know why I had to do this. Now I know why that door shut on me. Some of us are crying for doors that were intentionally shut to get you where you asked God for you to be. Hello? You say, Lord, make my marriage good. Well, there's going to be some things that are going to come to take the weeds out and to dig out some things so that it could become fertile again. Hello? So it can come again, flowerful again. Amen. Fruitful again. Amen. And that's okay, people. That's okay. We got to stop freaking out when things happen. Because we got the power. Amen. We got that power God puts inside of us. Amen. Amen. Okay, my fourth point is he will show us how to do it. We do not know how to do it. And then I'm going to go into Romans 8 again. And we're going to go down to verse 26 to 28. And it says, meanwhile, the moment we get tired and waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside helping us. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in and for us, making prayer out of our wordless sighs and our aching groans. He knows us far better than we know ourselves, knows our pregnant condition, and keeps us present before God. That's why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. Amen. All things work together for something good. Amen. All things. Amen. All things. Say all things. Whatever I'm going through, I'm going to get some good out of it. I make a choice to get something good out of it. Amen. See, this is how you know if you are just someone that is depending on God or somebody that's a child of God, is that when things don't go your way, you don't leave God. Amen. When you are grounded, amen. When you are grounded, when you are in a place of that God is quieted, amen. You don't run and you don't go find something. You wait for your Father. Amen. You wait for your Father to tell you. It doesn't feel good. I'm telling you, I never wanted to fly one day in my life. Never. But that was contradictory to what God had called me to do, to fly and to minister in the nations and minister all over the United States of America. How was I going to get there? I couldn't get there in car. Amen. Was God mean because he told me you're going to fly? He was enlarging me. Amen. Hello. He was enlarging himself. Come on here. Are you hearing? See, I could say he's so mean. He knows how scared I am, how terrified I am. And guess what? He did not stop the turbulence just for little old me. He changed me. Right. He gave me bone. He gave me courage. He enlarged me. He was trying to enlarge himself by not just tying me down to a church or my local region, but he wanted to get this message that he placed inside of me to another nation. So guess what? Little Norma had to get over herself, amen, and get on a plane, amen. And I'm not saying that I'm there yet. I'm only 10-hour flight. I know there's going to be 24 hours, but right now I'm on 10 hours right now. I can live through 10 hours, okay? But I know there's coming a time where he's going to say 24 hours, honey. So then I have to allow him to enlarge himself in me again. Are you hearing me, people? See, sometimes we're fighting our own sonship with God because we're trying to tell him how to do it. We're trying to tell him, and we're trying to be his Father instead of letting him be our Father. Amen? Okay, I know I'm just so passionate about this. God has placed it in my heart. Okay, and let's go down to Romans 8, 29 and 30. God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the onset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son. The son stands first in the line of humanity he restored. We see the original and the intended shape of our lives there in him. After God made that decision of what his children should be like, he followed up by calling people by name. He called them by name. He set them on a solid basis with himself. And then after getting them established, he stayed with them to the end, glorious, completing what he began. Hello. He is going to finish what he started in you. Amen. He's going to finish what he started in you. You're going to get there faster the more you yield. I'm telling you, the greatest quality of a son is obedience. Obedience will get you there faster. Amen. I remember one of my sons, I won't name them because now you guys know them all, but one of my sons, I told him, we're going to go to church, and he wanted to go play football. I said, you got to be back in time because we're going to church. I don't want you to say, oh, went into overtime or whatever. You come home. For every minute that you are late is a week. So, okay, mom. So he comes 3 minutes late. I said 3 weeks to you. You're grounded 3 weeks. Okay, I told him, if you don't want the sentence, I said, then you need to obey the rule, right? So he blamed me about the sentence. He told all of his friends. He told everybody he could, you know, to make me look like the bad guy. He told the grandma that it was his favorite, that he was a favorite too, how mean I was for 3 weeks. And I was giving him that eyes, keep it up, it's going to be 3 more weeks, right? Don't you make mother-in-law hate me. Mm-mm. And so, it's for a long time he felt like I was so unjust. But now that son, I can see the manifestation of how he shifted into obedience. Now he believed that I would do it. Right. Amen. Now he believed that was the cost for not being in obedience. Amen. So I'm telling you, he is the father. Let him be the father in your life. Let him work himself in you. Let him father what he put in you when you came into your mother's womb. And you got to understand, people don't know it. God didn't tell them. He's telling you. It's up to you to manifest his glory. Not to tell everybody, oh, God said I'm going to be a prophet. God said I'm going to be a pastor. God says I'm going to be a CEO. Let him do it in front of everybody's eyes. Amen. Let him transform you by the renewing of your mind so that you can judge what is good and what is perfect, what is from God and what is not from God. Some of you are not delayed. Some of you are, the earth has not been ready, or business has not been ready, or the marketplace or whatever has not been ready. God has not desired to bless them yet with you. Hello? One example as I close up, or two examples. One thing about my dad, he never talked to me. But you know what I learned? By what he did. I learned about him by what he did. He always was 15 minutes before work. And if he wasn't 15 minutes before work, he felt like he was late. Okay? He was very humble. He always preferred someone before himself. And so I learned by watching him. He never sat down and talked to me. There was 9 kids of us. Can you imagine that? You know, and I'm a twin. So, you know, he never like sat down and told us the principles, but I saw the principles in his life. Amen. And see, that's what God is wanting from us. He's given us his word. He's given us his spirit. And he's given us the church to be able to hear him, to be able to form you into what he's called you to be on the earth. One of the young ladies that I've been discipling now for, I think, 8 years now, she has a prophetic call in her life, and she thought it was as a prophet or things like that, but she's a school teacher, and she lives in Brooklyn. She didn't want to work in the Bronx, or she'd rather be in a local area, but God called her to get a job in the Bronx area. So she yielded to that. She did it, and I prayed with her several times and things like that. And the Lord used her. The class was very, you know, young. It was 8th graders or something like that. And they were very rambunctious kids and stuff like that. But God would lead her on how to encourage these children, how to love on them. And this year, their class took the state testing, and her class reached the 99 percentile. Come on. See? Yes. And that's what prophets look like nowadays, where you're on your job and God, you're hearing God how to be an answer to a problem. We can complain about politics. We can complain about business. We can complain about your neighbors. We complain all these things. But you know what? God didn't call you to complain. He called you to be the answer. Amen. He called you to be the answer. Just like Jesus was the answer. So I just want to encourage you today. Many of you have known me since I've been here at Life Church, and my life has been transformed. It's not based on what Pastor Kevin or Maria have on, or it's not based on their cultural, where they came from. It's not it's based on the word of the Lord that comes out of their mouth. Amen. And the resources that God has used them to establish, to raise up spirit-filled believers, to raise up relevant acts on the earth through you and through me. Amen. I'm so honored and blessed that God would allow me to pastor the Rockford campus. It's just an honor. I have fallen in love with Rockford, and that's only something that God can do. Amen. I love, this is the home, this is the mothership right here, and I love when I can come to the mothership to get imparted and to receive as well. We have been blessed. With God has also established an awesome worship, and he's taken the worship team from glory to glory. How many can you say that? Amen. He's establishing us and taking us to greater glory, greater worship. With greater worship comes greater presence of God. With greater presence of God comes greater ability to hear God. Amen. So let us be grateful children. Amen. Let us learn to love obedience. Let us learn to love the challenges in our life and the places he takes us to. Because he's going to take us to the desert to make water. He takes us to the darkness to be light. Amen. So be encouraged. I pray right now, Father God, that you begin to activate and arouse all of your children in this place, Father God. Begin to arouse the dimensions of anointing in their life, Father God. Break off the opinion of man. Break off rejection. Break off bitterness, Father God. Break off the past that would tie us back to who we were and not allow us to come into who we really are and who you called us to be, Father. I pray that we would desire your voice than any other voice, Father. I pray that you begin to raise up sons, Father God. Just begin to get our minds into an understanding of what that is, Father. Get our minds to that place, Lord, that you're not our enemy. You are our Father. You are our Creator. And even as parents, when our children come into a teenage year, it's almost like the enemy comes and makes them feel like we are their enemies instead of their greatest cheerleaders. So I pray right now that you break the adolescence off your global church and raise up mature sons to execute your plans and purposes on the earth. A lot of times we're being set up for the bam, just like when the multitude came and they only had a little, but bam, boom, the multitudes were fed with much left over. Father, Lord, all the booms and the bangs that Jesus did, when the adulterous woman was about to get stoned, and bam, you came in to show them their hearts, and they walked away. They were just sure that you would kill her. But God, you always come in with a bang, with a boom. So I pray for booms and bangs all over this place, Father, where their generations were going the wrong way, but boom, Jesus came in. Lord, where a company is about to go bankrupt, but boom, you come in and you save it. Lord, where politics looks like it's in chaos, but bam, you come in, Lord, that we're not fearing what the world fears, but we get into position. Lord, I bless your people, Lord. I call forth a new generation of politicians, a new generation of businessmen and women, a new generation of spirit believers, Lord God, spirit-filled believers, Lord, that have relevant acts that shift history, acts that shift the condition of America, Lord. Father, we celebrate the 4th of July as a day of liberation. And Father, I pray that today will be a day of liberation for the people here and their generations. That no matter what it looks like, we're going to stand on the word, even if we stand on a Bible just to make ourselves know that we're standing on it, Father. That, Lord, we stand on that word because it will not come back void. It will do what you called it to do, Father. So, Father, right now, all over this room, Father, let your spirit come and flood the hearts of your people. Let hope, let expectation, let joy arise in their hearts, Father. I thank you for Life Church, and Lord, we're grateful, children, that you have brought a leadership college to it. We thank you, Lord. We're grateful because you brought a great youth ministry, Lord God. You've given us a great spiritual ministering gift ministries, Lord, healing, freedom, Lord, and hearing your voice, Lord. And you've given us the life school of the Bible, Lord God. These are all the tools that we might become sons and we might know you, Father. So we thank you today, Lord, and we celebrate our liberation in you. In Jesus' mighty name, give the Lord a praise offering.